Welcome to episode 95 of the Blown Hawk Sports Show. I'm CJ Hawk, joined by
DJ Benny the Bull. We're in house in studio to return to you some breaking news regarding the rosters. First off, the rosters for the Red Stars have been finalized, and then we'll get into the Bulls, our weekly Bulls talk.
And Fire talk.
Fire. So, Fire FC got some games that have occurred. The regular season is on fire, what'd you say?
I don't know. I gotta say we've been pretty good so far. Free games and undefeated, so
undefeated.
Pretty good.
That's right.
Can't say that a lot about the Fire.
That's right. That's right. That's basically what we've left off on since last time. And it's looking good. This new roster. Speaking of which, we have your Chicago Red Stars today during the Ides of March, March 15th, as we are recording live. We have your official roster for the NWSL Challenge Cup 022, which will be kicking off against the Houston Dash on Sunday, March the 20th, this Sunday. Yes, we will be away at PNC Stadium, the newly named PNC Stadium at Houston Dash. So that's going to be an exciting opener for us. I would prefer personally to be here at home, as I myself will be able to go to it, but too bad that's not to be until the April 2nd.
Yes. I will be trying to make an appearance to the April 2nd match against the Dash with my sister, who's a big supporter of the podcast and big Red Stars fan. We're going to try to make an appearance at that game, at least one of the hosts of the podcast, to support the club.
That's right. And of course, this being the special, or your guest, if you will, being your sister, it's nice to have involvement with, you know, someone that you know, whether it is what I'm saying is with just, you know, women, girls in general, to mm-hmm. support their, you know, their own, and being able to be seeing them out there, you know, something that with someone that looks like them, and be able to like, you know, inspire them in that way, it's a win-win. So that was also my goal for any future games since last year, to really be able to bring people out to also, you know, see how amazing it is, win or lose, just to be able to see how fun it is to be out there seeing this. So,
oh, but before we get to that, along the same lines you just talked about, a woman going to a women's sporting event, one of our previous guests we've had on before, Kayla McLeod, she is a huge WNBA fan. So it was nice to meet someone who's a huge WNBA fan and a woman. So
that's right.
Because as you can tell, not every one of us is a woman. So
yeah, that's right. A lot of influence from a lot of women, despite that. So the April 2nd matchup, which will be the home game, will coincide with WrestleMania,
right?
Sunday, day two, WrestleMania Sunday will be at the same time. So I will likely not be attending that very matchup, unfortunately. So it just happens to be bad timing. I know that there's one next weekend that will be the home opener for real. That coincides with spring formal. So
I know, a lot of bad timing for you.
Yeah, that's right. On the exact dates, too.
That's it's exact date, exact time.
That's the problem. Like, they're not able to have the Wednesday games so much happen anymore. Yeah. So, during the weekdays, I can make, you know, I can totally make weekdays even more so. The weekends, fun looks of it right now. So, all right, enough about that. Here we go with the official roster, and a lot of new faces coming from the NWSL draft, and also some players that are not on there.
Yeah, free agent pickups.
They're also just non-roster invitees, and then ones that are technically on the roster but on loan will also be included.
Okay, so to start things off, we're going to start with the goalies, the goalkeepers, and there's really only been one major change from last season. We have, yet again, one of the greatest goalies in all of NWSL, let's just be honest, all soccer, including men and women's, and face of the women's U.S. national team, Alyssa Nair.
That's right.
Back yet again.
Yeah. Also returning is the constant backup for this very roster for the goals is Emily Boyd. She is returning on board once again.
And also, actually, Emily Boyd was really last season the third string behind Cassie Miller, but Cassie Miller is gone now, so Emily Boyd will start because Alyssa Nair will be gone during national team duties. So Emily Boyd will get starting opportunity.
She'll fill the void and will be the head goalkeeper for now.
Yeah.
On to defenders. We have 8. So going down the line, there will be 8 from each other positions. Starting with defenders. Tierna Davidson, who is a Federation player, she returns as well. Casey Short Kruger,
she is on maternity leave,
so at some point she will return when she is ready. And then a
new face.
This is listed as COE, which means contract offer extended. McKenna McManus. That's to say about her.
We'll have to do some more research on her, but I don't know a lot about really anything about McKenna McManus.
Yes. Tatum Milasso returning. Moore. Zoe Morse. Kayla Sharples, currently on loan. Bianca St. George's.
Yeah,
she'll be able to play more.
Hopefully.
Regularly. Yes. Good signs point to that. Erin Wright.
Also. Who, I saw this, and I think especially now that Sarah Gordon's gone, Erin Wright's going to step up big time. And that's what Attacking for Podcast, they said that Erin Wright's got to step up big time because now she's one of the most important defensive pieces we have. So,
right.
I agree with that.
And onto the midfielders. We have a brand new player, Jill Aguilera.
I don't know her.
The return of, you can say she is the other face of the Red Stars, the constant Danielle Danny Colaprico.
Yeah.
Another, Vanessa DiBernardo. Brand new, Channing Foster. Samantha Fisher, also a contract offer extended. The returning Morgan Brian Gautreau. Alyssa Motz. And, of course, Sarah Waldmo, who is newly on maternity leave. And finally, your forwards.
8 of them.
Same goes. As I said, same quantity. Another contract offer extended, Ava Cook. Now, this actually will stand for a college developmental player, but this is a new 2022 NFL draft pick in Sarah Griffith, who is a local, a native of
Naperville,
Illinois. So, homegrown player coming up. I know they don't use turn much in this league, though, to borrow the term from Major League Soccer. Returning Rachel Hill, also Sarah Lubert, who will also not play much in the beginning. She's still on loan. Yuki Nagasato, the returning Red Star. She is part of the international initiative. And
before we move on, I'm really glad that Yuki's back on the Red Stars, because it just didn't feel right with her being in Racing Louisville, gone.
That's very true.
And it's good she came back, and according to rumors, she wanted to come back.
Yeah, of course.
She didn't want to leave in the first place.
That's how I felt. It was a random maneuver, and good to have her back. International piece for her. It's good to have players of that nature. And also, we know, thinking objectively, she's very good. And Mallory Pugh, Ella Stevens, and she has not yet reported, but we can announce Kalia Ojai Watt.
And that is your official Red Stars 2022 roster. And keep in mind, it will fluctuate and change throughout the season due to national team duties and other different duties for different players. So some players will definitely have a big role at different points of the season compared to others.
That's right.
Just like last year.
Yes.
So. And I think this concludes our Red Stars talk for this week. We'll definitely have more updates, though, once they complete their match versus Houston Dash. We're going to be breaking down, hopefully, the win versus the Dash. And we'll talk about it, even if they lose. But we're going to discuss the match and what we saw from the team. And this is going to be their first experience with this new roster. So we'll see how they flow together and how they mesh. So stay tuned for more Chicago Red Stars talk on the Mohawk Sports Show.
Welcome back to the program. We're on to the Bulls talk, and we're going to start with the game with the Bulls going on the road to face the Philadelphia 76ers, and we put up a good effort against a MVP candidate-led Joel Embiid team, and they have a really good lineup to balance it out with James Harden, newly acquired. Was this his first, or this is one of the few games that he's been on so far?
We watched this one, I think, on TV, I remember.
Yes, this was on a Monday, right?
I think we watched it.
It was frustrating to see them, but like, we knew that we will struggle a little bit more based on the team that we're facing. Sixers have not been a good team at the beginning, yet they worked their way up to where they are right now. They're climbing the ranks, and so we're up for a tough matchup at the Wells Fargo Center. So let's first begin with your lineup with the Bulls. So we'll do the usual. We'll go back and do the normal lineups intros, and go to first at points. Ayo Dosunmu, shooting guard. Zach LaVine at center. Tristan Thompson, power forward. Jabonte Green, small forward slash shooting guard. DeMar DeRozan.
Now for your 76ers, because we could have some 76ers fans listen to the podcast.
That's right.
It's possible.
Yeah, they were actually in attendance as this was at their home.
So first at point guard, Tyrese Maxey.
Not Halliburton,
no. Next.
Close.
In one of his first appearances for his new club, superstar club. James Yeah, sorry. I'm used to soccer all the time these days, so it's easy to say club for soccer, but it's team, not club.
Yeah.
James Harden.
Same difference, right?
Then at center, man in the middle, MVP candidate, you could say front runner, Joel Embiid.
That's right. The process.
Yep. Next at power forward, we have... which one's power forward? Is it Harris or Thybulle?
Yeah, Thybulle.
Matisse Thybulle, power forward, and small forward, Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And that is your 76ers starting five.
That's right. I remember hearing this on radio in the beginning, and the way that they'll introduce it is also kind of funky, too. They definitely don't do the starting lineups as dramatic or as... intense and as wholesome as we would, just to say that.
Well, because I remember when I used to live in California, I watched the Warriors on TV, because they're on NBC just like the Bulls and the 76ers too. I don't remember the Warriors having a dramatic starting five lineup like the Bulls do.
Yeah, as they should have, but
they should. But I don't remember it being that dramatic
as a super team themselves. Like they they don't.
So, this game was one that, on paper, the 76ers definitely had the advantage. But we did have DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. We did not have Vucevic. No Vuce. He didn't play in this game.
Yeah.
So, we were down our third star. But
that's right. The big three, if you will.
I mean, we did fight hard, and we definitely had some good performances. DeMar had a good double-double of 23 and 11. Zach LaVine, 24 and 8 rebounds. So we had some good performances and a good Kobe Sub-Zero performance off the bench. But we couldn't stop the 76ers and Embiid. He went off for 43 points, marched all over our defense.
Ready to fold. They made us fold. yeah, just excellent offense per usual. The process, Embiid being the ultimate center compared to Nikola Joker Jokic. He dropped 43 and really well, really good assist by Harden, 14, and he had 16 for the night. Maxey was on fire at a point. At 17, Georges Niang, 14, Matisse Thybulle, 12, and so yeah, that rounded out the majority of the offense went through Embiid, Maxey, and Harden. And for the Bulls, we both DeRozan and LaVine ran through them, and LaVine with 24, DeRozan 23, Tristan Thompson stepped it up. He had almost a double-double at 13 points, 9 rebounds. Kobe White was also important for us. He was on fire, 19, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. But yeah, we needed everyone to all hands on deck for this one, and we weren't getting that.
No.
Last Monday.
I mean,
tough.
It's a little worrying that we don't show up often against the firepower teams in the East, Bucks, Sixers, Heat, those sorts of squads. But we were missing Vooch, and when Embiid goes off, it can be difficult to stop him. So it's not a panic game per se, but it would have been nice if we could have pulled out the W.
That's right. And so we go down 121-106, taking the L. Yep, there's always the next game. We just gotta focus. And we're on to, still on the road, on to Detroit, facing the Pistons. And we fought our way back, despite being on the road, once again, continuing on that second toughest schedule in the league currently. And the only difference in lineup is the man in the middle, Thompson, out. In comes the return of Nikola Vucevic.
I would have liked if he had played at the Sixers one, not this one, because I think we could have won even without Vooch against the Pistons, but oh well.
Made more sense.
Yeah.
And I believe we can develop like Tristan Thompson as a good alternative for the center, like whenever it's needed.
Yeah.
Like with a smaller team like the Pistons.
Yeah, they're small.
Speaking of which, you have the starting lineup for your Detroit Pistons. At point, Corey Joseph. Shooting guard, Cade Cunningham. At center, Marvin Bagley, the third, newly traded from the Kings. And we've had the return, returning once again. He is back with them, the power forward known as Jeremy Grant, nephew of Bulls legend Horace Grant. And small forward Sadiq Bey, who we mention quite often.
And we do, yeah.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, am I getting confused? Sadiq Bey is on the Thunder? Or no?
I don't think so, no.
No, maybe I'm...
I think he's only been on this team.
Okay. Maybe I think of the others.
He was newly drafted last year.
Yeah, that's right. He's all connected. But who did come from the Heat and moved around was Kelly Olynyk, part of the trade as well. Former Heat. Alright. So, we once again had Boots back in the lineup. Big help. Though it shouldn't have been as close of a game as it should be. Because, again, small team. We should be able to power, you know, forward with a team like them. Just based on how, you know, where they are. Pistons are 18-48. Horrendous.
Oh, yeah. We should be beating young, inexperienced teams.
Yeah.
If we can't, then there's a big problem.
Yeah, that's right. At minimum. But, like, generally speaking, we should be close to blowing them out, at least, because this one was closer than what we'll think. Definitely a challenge. I feel like they're able to get more like fast breaks during this one, especially having some speedy players like Cade Cunningham, as we know, and Marvin Bagley. Sadiq Bey as well. Also, you know, be able to make some clutch plays. Cunningham had 22 points for the night, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and then Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant had 12, Bagley the third 10, Saben Lee 10, Kelly Olynyk 12, and also 10, Hamidou Diallo.
And Rodney Magruder 9.
Not Hood.
Not Rodney Hood.
Recruiter.
Not to be
confused. They had a good bench performance, to be honest.
Yeah,
a lot of the bench guys scored at like 5 at least.
And that's how the Bulls were, you know, during the late 2000s. Joakim Noah was still around. He was a starter for sure, but talking about the benches, him you know, influencing the bench and just in general have the bench players being very good, step in anytime and be able to get the starters, you know, break. I felt like lately that, not to get too forward, but like even during this game, that started seeing the Coach D kind of experiment here and have someone like DeRozan, you know, like after the first quarter, you know, kind of sit, you know, be on the bench and then allow some others, which we don't see as often. We are a small roster, like we've said before, and allow them to shine, sort of, and to also, it benefits, you know, because you shouldn't be having your star players or your starters, like, there, like, all night, you know. So it's good to have them so they're not, like, fatigued. But,
yeah, so for scoring output for the Bulls, the heavy hitters were DeMar DeRozan with 36.
Back to his winning ways.
Zach LaVine was 25. And back starting, Vooch with 21.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, I believe the reason why that we've, like, our bench or whoever is, you know, outside of the quote-unquote big three for us is because they're tired, maybe. Like, they're, because you have someone like Io starting, like, 37 minutes. Like, he's, like, there the third most time, so. But nonetheless, we're victorious. What was it? 112, right?
Yeah, we won by 114-108.
Yeah, 114-108. So back to our winning ways.
Yeah, that ended our losing streak of...
Five.
Yeah, five.
That was incredible. We didn't thought we saw that.
Luckily, it's over.
That's right. Yeah, we're excited about the addition of Tristan Thompson. I don't know, just by looking at the Cavs logo, I subconsciously thought about it. But yeah, even with the addition, we have our little struggles too. So maybe if we have another big, tall player like to in that position, would also help too. And speaking of Thompson, the champion, originally from the Cleveland Cavaliers, they themselves came over to the UC to visit us as we returned home last Saturday, the 12th, against, once again, the Cavs. Yeah, I feel like we face them quite often, too.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are again. But seeing them at the UC is usually kind of weird. The Cavs, it's like they've gone back and forth to being like a champion team. It's like you think about LeBron and J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, and like they'll hardly show up, you know, because now these days face the Lakers, not very often at all. So, you know, having them, it's, you know, completely new. So I guess we're back to facing them a whole lot again. And it's the same deal with the Hawks and the Kings. We face them all the time.
Yeah.
So, once again, you know, there goes, you could say, the imbalance, the Eastern Conference, whatnot. It's way better now. And we can say that we don't necessarily blow out a team like this because they've developed into a very good team. And their roster is incredible. A lot of up-and-coming players that... could be, you know, future, I'm not sure if they mentioned future star MVP, possibly. Especially in, you know, they say defensive end with Evan Mobley. So with that, let's get back to the starting lineups. We kind of gave away. But yeah, we can start with him. Man in the middle, center, Evan Mobley.
Yeah, easily be like Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. There it goes. Yes, that was category. Point guard, Isaac Okoro, who we've been talking a lot about lately.
Yeah.
If you put him in your fantasy, possibly.
No, I don't have Isaac Okoro on my fantasy team, but.
I believe they early in 2K21 while playing.
Yeah, we talked about Isaac Coro on 2K.
He's part of the trade. He's been showing up, so it's like based on reality. So that is a reason. At shooting guard, Darius Garland. Power forward, Dean Wade.
Not Dwayne Wade.
Yep. If you're confused, if you see D period or D dash Wade, you know he's the Cav. One-time Cav Cavalier. That Dwayne Wade.
It's creepy to picture him as a member of the Cavs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just like Derrick Rose is extra weird.
Or Dwayne Wade on the Bulls was weird.
Yeah, it was for a little while, but then you got used to it.
Not as weird as the Cavs.
Right.
And finally, we have longtime Cavalier.
Small forward.
Kevin Love.
All right. Let's get ready for the starting lineup for your Chicago Bulls. You can take it away, CJ.
Do you want me to do the legit lineup or just normal? Like,
You can do either of your choice. Prefer.
All right, I'll make an attempt to do the more dramatic one.
Alrighty.
All right.
You go for it.
First, at point guard from University of North Carolina, we have number 0, Kobe White. Next, at shooting guard from Chicago / University of Illinois, number 12, Ayo Dosunmu. Next man in the middle from
USC
says Montenegro, number 9, Nikola Vucevic. Next we have power forward number 24 from Hartford, Javonte Green. And finally, small forward, number 11, from USC, DeMarvelous DeRozan.
That is correct. Speaking of DeMarvelous, we have a future MVP somewhere down the line who has gotten the chance. Someone in the defensive end that has finally made his long-awaited,
anticipated,
explosive return. That is number 6, your ultimate point guard defensive number 1 steal player, and we mean it, in the NBA at the beginning of the season, and it's led to him returning, Alex Caruso.
Oh yeah, I don't know where he is.
Sixth man.
He's probably far down the list now because he hasn't played in a while in steals, but if he played all 82 games, he'd be like top 5 easy.
Easy. Top 3.
Easy.
Yeah. At one point he was
even in this game, he was already active. Like, as soon as he got on the court, his hands were already active.
He was
like,
ready.
He's ready to go.
After all that coaching, he's done. He's sick and tired of seeing it. Let's get into action. So him being the coach, he says to Coach D, put me in, coach.
I want to make a comment about
ready.
That.
He was ready.
I enjoyed that Caruso was coaching on defense even when he wasn't playing. Like, he was talking to his teammates.
Do what I do.
I liked that.
Yeah.
That he's still active on the team.
That's right. You like to see that out of people. And so you see noticeably missing. I believe this is the one where we saw Zach LaVine, you know, in those glasses. I know Amin called him. Professor LaVine on the house. Yeah, it's definitely one of those. You got it from Powered by Zenny of sorts. It's one of those kind of like the outer, whatever you call that, like, I don't know, frames.
Frames, yeah.
On the frames, outer part is very slim, and then you always see is like the glass. It's almost like ovally, like round, the way he has his glasses. And so you can see that, you know, there's someone that's educated, you know, going out there. It's kind of rare seeing him out with glasses, but yeah, so he was out for a game for a good reason. So for this one especially. So it was our time to shine. Definitely another smaller lineup team that we faced. And we had a lot of good moments, especially with Caruso back, quickening the pace of the game, and, you know, having us getting those steals. I noticed there's times that we couldn't get, we couldn't really exactly get him up to that level to block. Not like Javonte Green would, who's also very important in this game. He's not there to score 30 a night, as we see. 12 points, 8 rebounds, still very good. Important piece for us in the team. He's definitely earned his spot as a regular starter for your Bulls. So.
Well, I think Green is probably, to be honest, the best not starter. Because, like, you know, obviously DeRozan, Vooch, LaVine, Io are going to start, like, all the time. Yeah. But I think Green out of the bench options is probably the best, because we did do the one with Thompson and Vooch. I didn't think that was as good as, like, Green and Vooch. I think Green is a good fit. Because I know it talks about getting Jeremy Grant. And he's, Javonte Green's kind of like Jeremy Grant to an extent. So I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant could score more.
He's a better scorer.
But,
like, yeah, play style is similar.
Yeah. I enjoy that. I believe that's what we're looking for. I believe we're especially looking for more so outside of play, like a mixture of that and not only skill level, a mixture of skill, and also like personality-wise, if you're like a good person. I believe every single one of these guys, as they said, all of these players, that no egos, you know, just going in there and just working together to try to accomplish something special that has been done in a long time. And I say each one of these guys, you know, are very, just very good, like humans, as I say. Praise Zach LaVine, who didn't get to play, but like the one who, you know, is very obvious, can, you know, shows it the most. And right next to him, DeMar DeRozan being that. I cannot say the same with Vucevic. I'm sure he's also good, but I guess we don't see enough of his personality or, you know, what he does in the community. But, yeah, definitely we have good, just overall good group of guys, and just good all-around roster. You couldn't put together anything better, and it's good to see them succeed here. Especially with like Caruso, like we're talking about him coaching and now finally getting back to play. He had 11 points, 4 assists, and a rebound, and that doesn't show you, you know, the amount of steals, you know, that help. But he definitely turned that into some free throws. You know, he's able to get us down for that, you know, putting himself out there in that way. And I remember our announcers, not Stephen Adams, Stacey King, of course. I'm trying to rhyme. He said that, oh man, every time that he falls, I get a little scared. I get nervous because we don't want it to happen all over again, you know, especially right now. But it's for the sake of, you know, for the team and for himself.
Yeah, so overall, the Bulls got good performances from DeMar, Vooch, Io, big game 17, Caruso, good 11 points off the bench, Javonte Green of 12.
Vooch got 20.
And these performances helped us get a important 101-91 W at home.
That's my 10.
Good job for the Bulls.
That's right. Seti Osman really shined in this one. He had some fire shots, mid-range threes, 14. Finish off with that. And then Evan Mobley shining as well. 7 rebounds, assists, 17 points. Kevin Love, the usual, you know. Some
double-double.
Double-double, 10 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. And then the star, who's been consistent, Darius Garland, 25 for that. 7 rebounds and also 7 assists. Also, we noticed coming off the bench, second string, maybe you could say.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo, former Bull, 8 points. Yeah, he was quite hot out there, but we were able to, like, contain. And also, when he, like, I guess we made sure to say when he came in, it's like, oh, not particularly the best three-point shooter, never has been. And so, like, we didn't have much to sweat with that coming in. So, I feel like when he was on the Lakers, he would be, like, a starter. He would start, or be, like, the six more, but it's kind of crazy how things change.
But keep in mind, this lineup is missing Jared Allen.
That's right. He's out for now.
And Colin Sexton, too. Yeah. So if those two are playing, then it might be different.
Sexton recently returned, but he's out again. So just think about it. That's why I meant, that's why I meant about, like, you know, their team is all around really, really good. Ooh, as we're doing this,
we have breaking news from 1 hour ago.
Doesn't have to do with us, but
this is big breaking news. Former Bulls star Chris Dunn.
Steel.
Will be signing a 10-day deal with the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I met that person before.
Congratulations to Chris Dunn. I'm glad he's still getting an opportunity in the league.
Yes. He's played for the T-Wolves, us, and the Hawks most recently. 10-day deal.
I think he could be a good fit there.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you haven't noticed, the DeMarcus Boogie Cousins, he went from 10-day contract to fully
signed. That's good.
With the Nuggets for the rest of the season.
What's good fit? Come off the bench to support Joker.
Yeah, finally he's able to get, you know, his opportunity after, you know, I know he was, like, having, like, those troubles. What is it, technical foul?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. But, like, it's his time to come back, and we're about to get to his former team in a second.
Yeah, good transition.
But also, just, you know, I don't see him as, like, a bad guy. He never really was. It's just, you know, those small problems, you know, causing him to be out for the league for a while, not being part of any team. So it's nice to see that. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of guys that, you know, really should be part of teams, but they, you know, fallen off in that way. And so, yeah, we are back on the road. Just last night, Monday, we face the Sacramento Kings at the Golden 1 Center. And, oof, what a matchup.
To be honest, this is the games I worry about, because we should be beating the, let's just face it, the Kings are horrific. We should be beating these bad teams or middle of the road teams, because if the Bulls want to have home court in the playoffs, we got to be beating the Kings, the Pistons, Thunder, those types of teams. And it worries me a little bit when we lose against them, because I know some of these games, like, well, LaVine didn't play, DeMar didn't play. Well, this game, though, we had all of our guys, and we couldn't beat the Kings.
That's right. So this one, we'll just go through. For the Kings lineup, Bulls stayed the same.
Yep, same starting five.
So here it goes with the Kings. At point guard, Dante DiVincenzo, who recently got traded from the Bucks. Shooting guard, this time, De'Aaron Fox. At center, Domantas Sabonis, Pacers legend. Power forward, Trey Lyles. And small forward, Harrison Barnes. You have to stay. It's kind of weird still not seeing Tyrese Halliburton this lineup. And Marvin Bagley III.
And it's weird seeing Rashawn Holmes, like, buried on the bench. Because, like, last year he was starting. Now he's, like, buried on the bench.
Yeah. It's, like, buried. Speaking of this matchup and with the Bulls, we did get to watch a episode, brand new, that featured DeMar Vilas DeRozan with his good friend, if you say best friend, former teammate of the Raptors. He is the host of How Hungry Are You, which is posted on YouTube.
It's a good show. I recommend watching it.
Serge Ibaka. So yeah, we had him as a guest and did mention the Nigerian food and everything, and the Kings. He's on the Kings. Chimetsi Metu was the one who introduced that type of food to them, and he got a mention in the show. So
yeah, so nice. Basically the show is a interview type show where he introduces them to unique types of food, and they have to try the food or like answer the questions.
Exotic, quote unquote.
Exotic Nigerian. International food.
Whether it's Nigerian, snail, Cameroon, or Spanish, you know, which Serge is, you know, he's lived in multiple places. He comes from a very unique background himself. So he just introduces, you know, like you said, snake and, you know, chicken heart, which is not too bad in my eyes. And, you know, it could be something even worse, but
there's worse. So
many Americans' eyes is like, all right, this is way too exotic. This is way out of my element, and this is, many people are very picky with, you know, texture and everything. But I myself, having had a lot of different cuisines, am not afraid of chicken heart, which is what they had. You'll have to see it for themselves. But I will say this was not dramatic as DeMar should have made it, and not as dramatic overall compared to the last time that DeRozan was on. Okay. Because what he had last time, it was some...
it was, like, really exotic.
Yes, worms.
Yeah, there we go, worms.
Yeah, worms. Oof. Yeah, they're not gummy worms, but, like, yeah, real worms, like, that were moving. Those cooked. I myself am not a fan. Yeah,
I'll take the chicken heart any day over the worms.
You know, organ meats, if you will. The chicken, you know, it's chicken. So that's fine. And right before DeRozan was going to have it, he says, man, I'm not going to come on the show again. I'm not going to come on the show again. He was like, no, come on. And Serge was like, oh, come on, man. Don't say that. Try it first before you say that.
Serge.
And so, yeah, he's right. You know, yeah, how do you know? Like, before you make a statement like that, you gotta
I don't know if he's mentioned it, but so has he had all the types of foods, Serge? Like, all the foods that he has the guests try, he's had before?
Yes, that's right.
That makes sense.
It's something that, whether it's from one of his native, where he's lived before, whether it's this ethnic food with Nigerian cuisine, Cameroonian, which is like Pascal Siakam, or Joel Embiid's ethnic background, those types of foods will be the ones that he's enjoyed, you know, this he likes to have often. So yeah, I really enjoy it. It's hilarious. Once again, like their last one was actually more dramatic and and funnier, I would say. But we did find out more details about, like, how, you know, DeRozan, you guys will have to watch for yourselves. You know, how he was approached by the Bulls, you know, them actually coming to him to sign. It's like, oh, obviously didn't sign that day. But it's like, just like kind of see how things are and look at where we are now. Also, I have to mention before we continue is that it was close enough that both of them, both Serge and DeMar, were close to signing, or at least DeMar joining the Clippers, so they would have played together once again.
I'm glad he went here instead.
Yeah, even I would be even more upset. I'll be less upset with the Clippers, but like I'll be more upset if he did chose the Lakers.
Yeah,
which was a possibility too. Not only, but it was an absolute possibility.
But I don't think he would have been the main man in the Lakers.
Yeah, sadly.
He would have been LeBron and AD and then DeMar.
He was probably thinking that, but at the same time, it's crazy to think. Like, he doesn't scream the type that's like, oh, ball hog, give me the ball. I have to be the star of the team. But it just worked out so nice. And him being like selfless, he himself said he chose the Bulls to really help Zach LaVine. He's seen his game, you know, this whole time.
Oh God, he signed there.
And he just needed to help take the pressure off of an amazing guy, Zach LaVine, happens to be. It's just like the perfect, you know, marinating, perfect, you know.
I already marriage. Loved DeMar DeRozan, his Raptors days. Now I love him even more that he came to the Bulls.
But I believe he showed us not only because he's one of, you know, he's one of our own now, but like he's like proven, like, you know, he's like a perfect fit.
Yeah, he's a great fit.
And just talk about the culture here has basically been the same for many years, like, you know, very respected and very, you know, just all the guys were good guys. And so like he fits that. And one last thing before I continue is that Serge, another praise for DeRozan. He said that outright, if anyone says that they don't like playing with DeRozan, he will punch them in the face for saying so.
I like his honesty.
Yeah. And that just proves it. It's not saying just to say it, but like it helps it. It backs it up. And I say we would agree too that he's not only fun to watch, but also one of the best guys in the league, just like off the court.
Never change, Serge.
That's right.
Don't change. Yeah.
Don't change, man. He sees a lot of his teammates. Talk about a leader, too, which now he, Ibaka, he's part of the Bucks.
Yeah.
Would be important for them. So, 22, 7 rebounds and 4 assists, Sabonis. And then Fox shining, 34, 6 assists and rebounds. Wow, Harrison Barnes was a 666.
Oh no!
Oh my!
Harrison Barnes.
Yeah. And so yeah, they're able to crush it, and we were crushing it too. But for some reason it wasn't enough.
I think it was the same issue we've had some of these games where DeMar, Zach and Vooch all like bowl out, like all at 20 plus, but then no one else really steps up, so then we like lose.
That's where we need once again like Io,
because I mean Kobe had 13 up, which is pretty good, but yeah, besides that we didn't really get anything.
Io was more ice. Tristan Thompson too. We're hoping that he can do that, you know, double-double or at least, you know, you have 13.
Zero's not good enough.
But I feel like that's why you should have them out there more. Maybe they're afraid. They're like, oh, and at the same time, also kind of holding, like, not worrying as much because they're like, oh, we could beat them, you know, without, you know, we'll just be fine.
They didn't.
Without
it, so. Well, I mean, assuming. One thing to look at, ponder, is now that Caruso is back and playing big minutes, they have to jungle the rotation again with like Thompson, Bradley, Thompson. Like they need to find minutes for these guys. So some of these guys are going to be getting less minutes than they have been. But hopefully Coach Donovan is able to find the best fit, balanced roster overall, which can get us W's.
They need to take even more risks now, I believe. Still put like Kobe and Caruso, you know, at the top. Yeah. Would you say first tier or first string? Well, bench, if you will.
I think so. And keep in mind, Lonzo Ball's coming back soon, too.
Yeah. So, he's going to start.
I was going to go to the bench.
Yeah.
With Kobe That's White. Fine. And then That's Ball's going to start.
That's fine.
That's fine, yeah.
And so, yeah, and then DJ, you know, start when needed. But, yeah, really, I believe you should just be switching around everyone, you know, like make like Caruso and Io eventually and Kobe priority, and then, you know, Thompson, and also you can mix up all four of those guys, and Thompson being up there too, being first string, and then just bring in the other guys too, like when you never know, you know, like Matt Thomas, he's good on threes, and at least get those in there, you know, like obviously he's not gonna get like double-double or you know, that like which we needed here, but like at least you can get it, right? Because we weren't that far off with 112, 103. We took an L, took a loss with this. We could have easily came back with those things like that. I guess we didn't give ourselves enough time. I felt like we slowed down. We know that Kings were very explosive, not only here, but all the season. They're that type of team that would get from fast breaks and be able to quickly, you know, outdo, you know, another, able to climb back. And they're able to do that because I know we have the lead. Because if you look back at the box score, let's see, per quarter, the Kings, they outdid us for every single part of the first half. 27, they had 27, compared to 17, 36, 26, and then the second quarter we started to shine. I mean, talk about king of the fourth, or we are clutch in the fourth. Yes, we are, but it still wasn't enough to get us that. Get us the win.
No, so now the Bulls are 41-27 on the year.
Fourth in the Eastern Conference.
Yes, we are still fourth in the Eastern Conference.
It can go, you know.
It fluctuates a lot lately. Yeah, because these teams are all jumbled up there. But
very good now.
We are close, only half behind the Sixers, and only 1.5 behind the Bucks.
You could tie us for third.
And we're only 3.5 behind the Heat, so we're not like drastically far behind these teams. But in the other way, too, we're not that far ahead of like Celtics, Cavaliers, Raptors teams, so we need to keep on playing well.
That's right.
And that concludes this matchup versus the Kings. And then the next matchup is on Wednesday, the 16th, at Vivint Home Smart Arena versus the Jazz on the road.
I remember that. Yeah.
That's going to be a big matchup. Because we have some tough Western Conference opponents, back-to-back Jazz, Suns. Hopefully we can split at least one of them. Because I can't picture us beating both, but at least we could beat the Jazz. It'd be all right.
Ends the Suns' winning streak.
That'd be pretty amazing, but you will. I'm not saying we're going to beat the Suns. I don't want to be like unrealistic.
Yeah, we'll see, though.
We might.
Only if like D-Book is out.
Chris Paul's not playing, or D-Book, or yeah. Maybe Boone.
But then again, their like other starting lineup
is really good.
Yeah, it's really good. Cam Johnson, Campaign, who's come back. DeAndre Ayton, arguably the second most important player now with CP3 out and interchangeable, you could say, but second and face of the Suns. And yeah, just overall, that's why they're first in the West and
best record in the league. Record
in the lead, surpassing the Warriors now overall. So it's crazy. Once again, both of them are Western, and now they're like controlling that. But it's nice to see that the East are like many of them are good.
Competitive, yeah.
That's right, and far off. Seriously, can say that it'll be some years where it's boring to really hear people outright say, "Oh, these top three teams, they're winning so much, they're gonna be, they're shoo-in to be in the finals."
Cavs again, Sixers, Warriors again,
Sixers,
same teams once every again. Year. Yeah, Warriors again. Right.
It's like clear. It's like, all right, we're gonna see them. Like the playoffs haven't even happened yet, and like they're already saying,
"Oh
like,
yeah,
it's gonna be." And then it happened. And they're like, "Okay."
Well, for those period of years, they're like, it's gonna be Warriors, Cavaliers. And it wasn't. It's like, oh, it was.
I know. Isaac DeCoro.
Well, at least it's not that now. So. I mean, people thought it was gonna be like Lakers Nets or Warriors Nets, but we'll see. Maybe that won't happen. Well, that concludes our Bulls talk for this episode. We'll definitely discuss more about the Bulls, episode 96. And next is going to be our Chicago Fire talk here on episode 95. Stay tuned for more. We have reached our conclusion for episode 95. It is time for our Chicago Fire FC talk here on the podcast.
The main event.
And as you know, Fire coming into their third match of the year, undefeated, 2 points out of the season, 0 goals scored, 0 goals allowed so far, looking for the first win of the Ezra Hendrickson era. And the conditions were abysmal, let's be honest. DC, teen temperatures, they actually had to shovel
a lot of snow,
inches of snow before the match.
The grass, yeah.
And
constant.
They showed the crowd, not a lot of fans present for this game, which is understandable.
Yeah.
And cool. It was kind of funny because lately in the Chicago area, it's been warmer temperatures. So it was funny to see it in DC. It was like frigid temperatures.
I know. Many places don't understand or get what we get.
Because they said it on the Intercontinental podcast. Arlo White said that in Tartarans that oftentimes in D.C., snow will shut the city down, where in Chicago, that's not happening. The city's not shutting down.
That's right.
We don't get shut down by snow.
Yeah. It's because we have the infrastructure to, like, get ready and shovel, obviously.
And we can't get shut down because it snows so often here. If we got shut down by snow, there'd be a problem.
Exactly. Massively. There's already problems with, you know, some of the street cleaning, but at least we always are ready for that. So, adjust accordingly.
Yeah. Now for starting 11 for both sides. For the road team, the Fire, we don't need to discuss it. Same exact as against Orlando City, same starting 11. So now for DC United starting 11. First, in goal, Ben Hamid. Then defense, we have Nahar, Beerbohm, Heinz Eich, midfielders, Julian Gressel. And shout out to Julian Gressel. He does a podcast that is available on Spotify called the Zizaka Podcast. And he's from Germany. And actually, Chicago Fire's very own Fabian Herbers is his co-host. Recommend giving it a listen. Two guys from Germany. Had a lot of fun on the podcast and very enjoyable.
Cheap plug.
It was a plug, yes, but it's enjoyable and one of the guys is on the Fire, so.
Why not?
And on DC. So, continuing on with midfielders, we have D. Sundrich, S. Dyfel, Brad Smith, who actually used to be in the Premier League. Now he's in MLS.
Fully, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Flores, Perez, and finally, Kamara as striker.
Yep. Not so familiar with Kamara.
No, I'm not familiar with a lot of the guys on DC yet. And in the MLS, to be honest, yet either. Because we're still getting newly acquainted with MLS compared to NBA and NWSL and those kind of leagues.
That's correct.
And there was fear that this was going to be another nil-nil draw because the conditions were horrible. Both teams got off to a slow start, and there wasn't a lot of action on either squad. Not a lot of shots on goal, but the Fire were able to get on the board in the first half, which was very important. Finally got off the snide. First goal of the Ezra Hendrickson era. First goal of the 2022 season for the Fire. And this was a good goal, too. It was a good opportunity by a guy who's going to get a lot of opportunities. Let's be honest. Stanislav Ivanov, now that we have Shaqiri and Sabilko, they're going to give him some opportunities. And Ivanov took advantage. He was able to get the ball away from DC United defense. He was one-on-one with Ben Hamid, the goalkeeper, and he was able to flick it past Hamid into the goal to give us a 1-0 lead. So great scoring opportunity by Ivan Offany took advantage. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was a good goal.
Overall, good defense by the Fire FC.
Yeah.
We were to avoid, get some clean sheets. Credit to our GK. Did awesome all that.
Yeah, Gaga, he's been great this season. Three clean sheets in a row. Granted, not all of them he's had like 20 shots on net or like every minute ago, there's a scoring opportunity. But when there has been scoring opportunities, he's been able to block them and stop them. That's all you can ask out of your goalie.
That's right.
And at halftime, it was 1-0 Fire lead. Fire looked pretty good. They didn't have a lot of chances. They didn't look like sensational on the field. But 1-0 lead is all you can ask out of the squad.
Still gelling.
Yeah, we're still getting there. It's only for game of the year.
That's why important for guys like Jimenez and
right,
Ivanov and Bornstein to really, Gutierrez as well, right?
Yeah, Brian Gutierrez.
Navarro to really lead this team to, in their own right, to as the veterans here of the team, to be making sure everyone is on the same page and kind of coaching them to, you know, the Fire culture. Because they didn't need that to, as a team, all season.
And continuing on, our final goal
speaking of him,
of the season, of this game, took place late in the 80th minute of the match. And this was a great opportunity.
Very happy.
Given to a guy who has not scored since the second game of 2020. He's normally a defense, not a midfielder, not a winger. And that is newly re-signed from California. Great to see the 37-year-old back in action, Johnny Bornstein. And you're not expecting Johnny to score. That's not why he's on the squad. He came off the bench. And this was definitely a move that you might question, why Ezra Hendrickson, why did you put Johnny at the left wing? It doesn't make sense to me. Left wing is not his natural position. But it was a bold move by Ezra Hendrickson, but paid off big time. Johnny, fantastic throughout the match in the last time when he came in off the bench. And there's a great assist by Gaston Jimenez and Boris Sekulic. The great pass to Johnny B. Took advantage, got the goal, and proud of you, Johnny. Johnny. Way to go.
Johnny B. Good.
And a little bit more about lore about the goal. It's kind of a fun moment. On the Intercontinental Podcast, which is hosted by Arlo White and Tyler Terrence. Tyler Terrence is voice of your Fire. Arlo White does games too for the Fire too. And Tyler Terrence was at lunch with Johnny B before the match, and Johnny B in terms hinted that he was going to score this game, and his prediction came true. Came off the bench, game winning goal to give us the 2-0 victory. Great job, Johnny B. Yeah. And that concludes the match. 2-0 win for us. First win of the Ezra Hendrickson era. First win of the 2022 season. We now stand at 5 points on the young season after 3 matches. And in the Eastern young Conference season standings, we're in a good position in 6th out of 14 teams. And if the playoffs started today, we would be going, which you can't say the Fire have been in playoff position past year any time during the year. So this is nice, at least one game to see that.
If we get one more win, we're going to triumph over the Atlanta United, possibly.
Yeah, and another fun fact.
And DC.
The Fire, notoriously throughout the years, have been horrific on the road. So getting our first win on the road was a big step.
That was sweet. And
extra sweet.
And was it Arlo or whoever was on the commentary?
Oh,
made it a point, made sure to mention that.
Oh yeah,
this was
Tony Mola and Todd Terrence
road victory. One of those rare occasions.
Yeah, got the W.
Very much.
And how often can you say that after 3 matches, you haven't allowed a single goal? That's impressive, if anything.
Very much.
Undefeated, no goals allowed.
Last year, very disappointing. There's many times that Chicago FC really let in goals and easily prevent. And I guess now we're for the better with the Sir Gentleman Gaga. And it's crazy to say, as much as we love Bobby Shuttleworth, maybe this is the, you know, the best move, and it's paying off so far.
And that's our recap of our W versus DC United 2-0 win. A little bit of preview. The next match is on Saturday, March 19th, back home at Soldier Field, taking on Johnny Russell and Sporting Kansas City. On paper, Sporting Kansas City is probably favored, but Sporting Kansas City has struggled losing 2 out of their 3 matches to begin the year. And I know Johnny Russell's deadly. He's one of the best scorers in all of MLS. People
cannot stop.
People scream Johnny Russell. There's fangirls going, Johnny Russell. Well, maybe we could stop him this time. I think we could beat Kansas City, to be honest. We need to get our first win at Soldier Field, so let's go for it.
LFG.
Sorry, that was a little bit too dramatic. But
yeah, just just reenacting some preoccupied fans of him. Let go overboard for him.
Well, that concludes our discussion of the Fire on episode 95. And unless you have anything else to add, I believe that concludes our topics for episode 95.
Let's close the book.
So, thank you for listening to the Blog Sports Show. We greatly appreciate your listenership and your support on our independent podcast. We make these for you. And if you have feedback, comments you want us to know about, feel free to contact us on Blog Sports Show on Instagram, Blog Sports Show on Twitter. Those will be 2 places we'll definitely be looking in regards to comments.
That's right.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your week.